Hey, Money Buddies, Skylar here, and I'm interrupting your regularly scheduled weekly programming with a few bonus episodes this week because I'm launching a brand new podcast called Financial Planning for Young Adults, and the first 5 episodes are available right now. I'm going to be releasing them on this feed as well to give you a taste of my brand new show. If you've been following Money Talk, you know that I'm all about making personal finance simple, actionable, and honestly way less intimidating than the industry makes it out to be. And this new show takes that approach and dials it up specifically for young adults in their 20s or early 30s who feel like they should have this whole money thing figured out by now and want to get it under control. Here's what we're launching my brand new show with. Episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. Before you can build any sort of financial plan, you need to know why money matters to you. Episode 2 is I Made My Wife Cry About Money. Yes, that's not clickbait. It's a real story about how my perfectly optimized spreadsheet brought my wife to tears, and you're going to enjoy the story behind that one. Episode 3 is how to build a financial plan in your 20s, and this is where I break down the actual framework. What do you need to focus on right now versus what can wait? And I cut through all the noise and complexity to give you a clear roadmap. Episode 4 is estate planning is simple and easy. And I know that estate planning sounds like something that's for rich old people, but here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have some basic estate planning in place, even if you're only 18 years old. And I'm going to show you how to get 80% of it done, and maybe even all of it done for absolutely free. You're going to love that episode. And then episode 5 of my launch day extravaganza is enjoy spending money with buckets and sinking funds. And this one is about how to actually enjoy spending money without guilt. I'm going to share how my wife and I use sinking funds for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm going to show you an easy way to use buckets to reconsider budgeting. And all 5 of these episodes are live and available right now in whatever podcast app you're using. So just search Financial Planning for Young Adults or check the link in the very top of the show notes. And these aren't your parents' boring financial lectures. Every episode is story-driven and practical, and I'm designing these all to help you take action every single week, not someday when you have enough money or when you get around to it. So please, search Financial Planning for Young Adults, subscribe, and binge those first 5 episodes, and please let me know what you think. Drop a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email at fpyapod@gmail.com. And if you would also please leave a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm building this show for each and every one of you, Money Buddies, so your feedback matters. So let's get into this special bonus episode from Financial Planning for Young Adults. Money Talk will be back on Thursday with yet another great Money Talk. So enjoy, Money Buddies. What if I told you the next 30 to 40 minutes here with me is going to set you up for financial independence and an easier time managing your money throughout the rest of your life? Well, I'm going to provide you with a clear path from my CFP education that's going to help you get your financial plan set up. Money Buddies, welcome to today's episode, and what I said is true. It's not just clickbait. I'm going to provide you with some help in a variety of financial planning areas to help you get started with simplicity and get you going on the right foot. And it doesn't have to be that hard. Financial companies, honestly, they make this so complex so that they can sell you the products to fix the complexity that they're putting into our lives. It can really be pretty easy, simple, and straightforward. You don't need to invest in much beyond index funds, especially when you're just getting started. Forget stock picking, crypto investing, and whole life insurance, and all those sort of things. Forget complex products that don't fit into your specific life. Start with a simple approach, and that's what we're going to handle today. So let's take on this complex world of financial planning together, and let's build you a financial plan that's a whole lot simpler and a whole lot easier for you to actually implement. Of course, today, I want to start out with a story. How do you build this financial plan? We all want to figure this out. You're probably worried that it's going to be too big, ginormous, and complex, and probably expensive, right? Is that what you're worried about? You're likely getting pitched life insurance as your financial plan, and more specifically, it's probably whole life insurance, which is something that we want to avoid. You're probably getting scared off by the idea that you don't want to funnel a bunch of money into life insurance and all these products that you really don't understand, right? They can be so confusing. You aren't sure where to get started, and you don't know what is really involved in a financial plan because all you're being told is that there's some financial solution that someone needs to sell you to fix your financial plan, right? It can be a really tricky, complex, and convoluted world out there of financial planning. So I really want to help break it down and say, how can you actually take what your financial picture looks like and plan for it going forward? Today's case study is going to be a great one. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the episode, but I want to take this on from the lens of sharing my wife and I's story at the beginning. Let's kick it off with a definition of financial planning. To me, financial planning is providing a roadmap to make decisions with your money. It's a roadmap to help guide your financial decisions to use money as a tool to meet your life goals and plans. Now, what is financial planning not? Well, it's not life insurance. It's not tax products. It's not estate plan packages. Could it include those things? Sure. But does it have to always? No, it doesn't always have to, at least at the very beginning of your financial planning journey. It can include cash flow, budgeting, debt management, retirement planning, risk and insurance planning, investment planning, tax planning, estate planning, and of course, the psychology of money, which is a fun one to get into. We won't get into that one a whole lot today, but I am sure we will have an episode on it in the future. And if you want to dive into it, let me know, leave a comment down below or send me an email. But just like so many of you, my wife and I, well, we found ourselves in a similar situation where we wanted to build a financial plan. Thankfully, my financial knowledge and interest in personal finance let us get started early. We started with budgeting and cash flow management. We then wanted to look at where do we save our money. And then we figured we should write all these things down. So we began to get saving under our belt. We began to get budgeting under our belt. I began to write little descriptions of how we did it. And then we tried to take on managing debt and my wife's student loans, which you should go back and check out episode 2 about how I made my wife cry about money. But then we kept working on education, furthering our career, and we realized we needed to manage our money for the long term. So that's where the real financial plan came in. What are our goals? Where do we invest? How do we invest? How do we pay off debt? How do we balance all of this? And thankfully, I've talked about it for years. We need to write all of this down. And that really helped us in a large way because we were able to look at it and see what we were thinking before, which helped us build that roadmap that helped keep us on track, helped us make other decisions as we wrote down our goals, and helped really define what we wanted to do with our money. But this leads us into the real challenge. How do we turn all of that into a true plan? Well, our first financial plans, they were rough. Let me detail those out a little bit more for you. They were pretty rough, but it does get better over time. We update our financial plan quarterly. We'll review it together, review our goals, review some of the ways we do things and make sure it's all accurate. And we keep track of a few main things. We've always kept track of our goals, short, medium, 10 years, 20 years, age 50 and over, age 65 and over. We wrote down our budget plan, our emergency fund plan, and how we're going to use our emergency fund if that came to happen, which I think is a great thing to do, by the way. Our emergency fund is as simple as saying, we'll put it on credit cards first, then we'll pull from our savings and write it down in our emergency fund where we have it written down how much we have saved in there, and we'll try to replenish the emergency fund. But the main thing we wanted to emphasize there is put it on a credit card first so that you have some time to breathe after the emergency. Because it's pretty easy to spiral during an emergency. And when an emergency happens, if you don't have an emergency fund, it doubles your emergencies because you'll have the main emergency and then you're going to have a financial emergency. So have an emergency fund so that you can get rid of that second one and make it a whole lot easier, because it's really easy to say, put the emergency on a credit card, pay it off with our emergency fund, replenish the emergency fund. Now, that's not actually dealing with the emergency that may require attention and actual stress in your life, but how much more stressful is it going to be if you don't have that emergency fund in place? So that's one of the favorite pieces that we have written down in our financial plan, is how exactly we're going to manage and handle our emergencies. A couple other things that we have written down in there is our debt plan and how we're going to pay off debt, how we're going to avoid debt, how we're saving money, how we're investing money. The other thing we have written down in our financial plan is all the contact information for every financial institution that we use, between credit cards, investing, savings, bank accounts, credit unions. We have it all written down in one place so that it's easier than opening 18 browser tabs and trying to search it all up. We just look it up once, write it down, and then if anything were to happen to me, my wife knows to go to this financial plan document. Everything that we do with our money is written down there. So not only is this a document to help keep us on track and provide a roadmap, it's a document that provides a heck of a lot of peace of mind for my wife if anything were to happen to me, because I'm the one that manages the money. Write all of this stuff down. It'll take a huge burden of stress off of your spouse's back when it comes to figuring out what they would do if you passed away. And if you've never thought about that, start thinking about it, because it'll really light a fire under you and get you to write all this stuff down. Writing down your financial plan can be one of the best things that you do for it, because it actually puts it to paper or puts it on a Google Doc or whatever it may be and commits you to it. And here's another piece. Make sure you only update it quarterly. Don't update your financial plan more than quarterly. It's a waste of your time. And frankly, you don't need to. If you leave it alone, It's going to take off, again, so much stress off of your plate. Set it and forget it and let your financial plan work in the background. But one of the things that we were realizing is that we were still changing it every quarter, but it wasn't really changing. This was the problem my wife and I were running into with our detailed and elaborate plan. We realized we were trying to track too much. We were trying to be too specific and granular with our goals, which was leading us to a rut. And we were getting stuck. We would look at our goals and be like, yeah, that one's still good, because really it didn't have a whole lot of drive and meaning behind it. It was just a goal that we wrote down to satisfy what is a 10-year goal for us. Most of them were like, be closer to financial independence. And then the next goal would be hit financial independence. The one after that was enjoy financial independence. So you can see how these were pretty boring, stale, and just got us in the same rut where we weren't really updating our financial plan because we didn't have a true driving force behind it. And now we've figured out the driving force behind our financial plan. And I want to recommend the book, One Page Financial Plan by Carl Richards. The link, of course, is in the show notes. But this helped me learn that we needed to head in a direction and guide ourselves on a roadmap instead of trying to be so specific. The One Page Financial Plan really emphasizes simplicity over complexity. Your financial plan doesn't need to be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 pages in order to be effective. Carl Richards' approach focuses on why money matters to you. And before you even bother diving into spreadsheets and numbers, if you figure out your why, it's going to make it a whole lot easier for everything else to become directionally appropriate as you start working on your money. And this was a huge change for my wife and I. The book teaches that financial planning should be a living document that guides your decisions, not a static document that just sits on a shelf looking cool because it's so thick and hefty and perfect, because it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be wrong because things change. That's why we update our financial plan quarterly. And now we're going to be able to update it with a real sense of purpose and direction. And we're going to be able to use that direction and the why behind our money, which I'm going to share here in a moment, to help guide us in the path we need to go with our money to use it as a tool for our life goals and plan. Your financial plan can really just be as simple as writing it down on a piece of paper. The core message was that your financial plan should reduce anxiety, not create more stress through complication and thick document books that you hate to read through. Keep it simple, keep it to one page. And honestly, ours kind of started to bleed over to two pages. And I said, nope, that's enough. We don't need to make it any more complex than that. Keep it down to one page. So we decided to start with this why. Why is money important to you? And I'm going to share here on screen both Rebecca and I's why. And the question is, why is money important? For me, money is important because it allows us to have opportunity to do what we want to in our lives. To me, it means that we don't have to work if we don't want to, but rather we get to work because we enjoy it. We also have the ability to do what we enjoy more because we've set ourselves up to be financially independent. Rebecca told me that money is important to her because it buys her time and experiences. Time so that she doesn't have to work until she dies. And if we're financially okay, she doesn't feel like she has to work, that she can take breaks from work. It also allows her to live life and experience things. She wants to be able to do things. Thinking about the future, she doesn't want to be tied down to work and missing things in her lives. She doesn't want to be tied down to work and missing things in her life. She doesn't want to work. And I put it in all caps there because at this point she was getting really passionate and fired up about why money is important. My wife doesn't want to work forever. So go back and listen to episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. It's a great place to start, and it's going to help you build that roadmap that's going to tie in perfectly with this episode. So go build your why, figure out why money is important to you, come back to this one, and then really bring the two together and build a financial plan that's going to be easy for you. So how does this roadmap apply for my wife, Rebecca, and me? Well, for my wife, it means she doesn't want to have to work forever. That decision will move her in specific directions towards salary increases, asking for raises. She may want to work, but she just doesn't want to feel like she has to. It goes hand in hand with the reason why she didn't want to wait to pay off her student loans in episode 2, about how I made her cry about money. But she wants to be able to do stuff and have options. And my roadmap is very similar to Rebecca. I wonder why we're married, right? It's all about opportunity and having choices to do what we want. I want to achieve financial independence from work. I don't want to have to work either. And that's probably why Rebecca and I work together so well on our finances, because now we have a driving purpose that aligns together that allows us to make decisions based on this roadmap. So how does this help in the 7 areas that I mentioned earlier? Well, there's the basics like cash flow, budgeting, and debt management. This helps us avoid car loans. It helps us avoid expensive purchases. It helps us avoid debt that's going to eat up all of our cash flow, which makes it so we have to work. That's one way that our why, money is important to us, really applies and helps direct us. For retirement planning, it makes it clear that we need to push to retire early, and that needs to be an option for us. For risk and insurance planning, well, this is one that can be so easily overlooked. This helps us know that we need life insurance and disability insurance in place to keep our options open. Should anything happen to Rebecca and I, we don't want our reason that money is important to us to become completely dissolved because something happens. It goes right in line with our why that we need to make sure we have proper insurance in place. Why is money important to us? Well, it gives us options. You know what else gives us options? Insurance, should anything happen to us. Couple more areas here, investment planning. Well, our why tells us to keep it simple. We don't want to spend forever managing our investments. That's just not in our why. And it's probably not in most of your reasoning as to why money's important for you. I doubt most people say, oh, why is money important for you? Well, it allows me to manage a complex investment portfolio with options and stocks and margin and all that sort of fluff and jargon that goes into that world. I highly doubt that's going to be a part of your why money is important. And if it is, that's fantastic. That means you've been able to recognize it. And that's something that you can work towards and make a priority in your life. That's what's so cool is all this can be so personal and unique. Now, the last couple here of tax planning, estate planning, and psychology, there's a whole lot of things you can go into. But when you realize why money is important to you, it becomes a huge driving factor that helps build these financial planning areas in a very simple and direct and clear way. So ultimately now our financial plan, it's all built around that why. Why is money important to us? Which is flexibility and having options in our life. We don't want to be tied down to work for the rest of our life. We would rather work hard now and get that compound interest benefit working in our favor. Building around our why money is important is what really helped simplify and make our financial plan actually work. And it's what's going to help you get one started today from a very simple and easy approach. We still got a lot more to talk about, but what do you need to consider when building a financial plan? I did a lot of research in this area to help you with figuring out some areas to address and how we can keep it simple. So we're going to dive into more specific things here because I want to talk about starting early, automation, simple investing, insurance, estate planning, and dealing with the complexities of life as they begin to get more and more complex. And guess what? If you start your financial plan now, those complexities are going to be a piece of cake to deal with down the road. And we're going to do all of this from the lens and perspective of a young adult. So I'm super excited to get into this research that I found today. Let's kick it right off. So let's start off with talking about how starting early can have long-term benefits. I found a chart from Fidelity that says if you were to invest from 25 to 70, you would have $2.3 million. If you were to invest that same amount regularly monthly from 35 to 70, you'd have $1.1 million. And from 45 to 70, you'd have $562,000. Investing earlier is going to really save you so much more money down the road just because it keeps growing. And honestly, the funnest charts to look at are the ones where someone stops investing and it still grows to be more than someone who's able to invest more later in life. Even if you're investing more from 45 to 70, it may still not be enough to beat out the person who invested from 25 to 45. That's the fun thing about compound interest. Now, I also want to talk about automation. An article about the Save More Tomorrow plan talks about how people who save more tomorrow by contributing more money and committing in advance to increasing their retirement contributions before they get a raise, well, those people see an average savings rate increase up to 13.6% as they begin to pledge more of their future raises to retirement savings. And really, this just goes towards the idea of automation, really allowing you to set a higher number and then betting on yourself to not lower it. And if you automate your retirement savings so that more money is going towards retirement, you're going to find yourself just being fine. Of course, I'll have all these articles that I used for this research linked in the show notes. Here's one from Fidelity that talks about how we should think of all the different machines in our lives that make our lives easier. Think of dishwashers, coffee machines, your car, laundry machines, all these things that make our life more automated and simple. Now apply that to your money. That can be a huge headache reliever and stress reliever. It can be tricky because everything is so digital, so it can be kind of hard to conceptualize how we automate and use these machines to manage our money, but it is possible and it makes life so much easier. As you're building this financial plan, you should keep your investing pretty simple. There's a rule out there that I highly encourage everyone to learn called the rule of 72, where you take 72 and divide it by your rate of return, and that's how long it takes your money to double. So 72 divided by 10 is 7.2 years for your money to double. This can be a helpful thing to keep in the back of your mind of how quickly should my money be doubling? You can plan on it doubling about every maybe 8 to 10 to 12 years or so, somewhere within that range. But you're also probably thinking, do I need to start investing aggressively so that this money can grow? Do I need to put it all on the line in order for it to grow in the way that I mentioned in that chart earlier? No, not really. You can get started with simple investing that is just index-based, an S&P 500 or total market index fund ETF, and you'll be okay. That's what simple investing is. And now another question you're going to have as you start building out this financial plan is Roth versus traditional. Lean towards Roth. It's a simple approach. What's in the account is your money, because Roth is money that is taxed and then grows tax-free, and any gains and the money in the account is tax-free. Traditional is tax deferred, so you aren't taxed on the money out the gate. And then as you pull the money out, you're taxed on everything within the account. If you need help figuring out Roth versus traditional, that may be a point where working with a financial planner can be helpful. But honestly, there is plenty of research out there. You don't have to necessarily work with a planner just to make the Roth versus traditional option. And now the next couple of areas that I did some research on are disability insurance, estate planning, and dealing with complexity as it grows in your life. Couple stats I just want to share here about disability insurance to help you realize the importance of it. And you're going to see that play out in our case study that we're going to get to in a moment. But from Student Loan Planner, they share that the Social Security Administration estimates that 1 in 4 20-year-olds will experience a long-term disability before reaching age 67, yet millions of Americans don't have adequate disability insurance coverage. Most people don't even have an emergency fund, let alone disability insurance. And disabilities aren't always caused by freak accidents. In fact, most long-term disabilities are results of medical conditions. And now you're going to want to, as you're building out your financial plan, look for own occupation disability insurance. They're going to provide the most comprehensive coverage. Own occupation means that you can't do your specific job. Any occupation may leave you required to get a job that you don't really want or that you're overqualified for, because you have to be disabled to the point that you can't work in any occupation. It's pretty self-explanatory when you start thinking about the wording there. And term life insurance, that's the route to go. It can be pretty cheap. And in the case study today, we're going to talk about when you should get it. Should you get life insurance in your 20s, and should this be something you put on your financial plan? Well, most likely, yes. It's going to be something that you can get lower rates for. You're less likely to be denied. You can skip medical exams, and it just really comes with a lot of flexibility. Now, why would you need life insurance? Well, if you're getting married, you're starting a family, you're buying a home, you're taking on a large amount of debt, you're starting a business, you have aging parents or siblings who are dependent on you, or you're a single parent, or really a parent in most any situation should have term life insurance. So if someone depends on your income, you should have life insurance. Now, how much should you get? There is a dime formula that we're going to talk about in the case study, but really it's debt plus income replacement plus mortgage plus education costs. And we'll talk about that more in the case study, and I'll show you a specific example. And now as we talk about estate planning, I have a whole episode dedicated to how estate planning doesn't have to be complicated for young adults. So make sure you go check out episode 4 that just released today. But just know estate planning isn't set it and forget it, but it also doesn't have to be so complicated when you're just getting started. And now the last thing before we get into our case study is complexity. Your life is going to get more complex. And most of you are in the first stage of your life where you're entering the workforce. You're maybe getting married. You're beginning to have children, or maybe purchasing a home or a car. You're beginning to develop this financial plan, and you want to make sure you're financially literate going into the rest of your life, because stage 2 and 3, that's where things can get really murky if you aren't prepared. Stage 1, you want to track your spending habits. You want to set aside an emergency fund, develop a smart debt strategy, build a savings habit, and work towards some savings goals. Make sure that you have adequate insurance coverage, like we've been talking about throughout this episode, and take advantage of employee benefits at work. But that does it for the research today. We put a lot of work into the story we shared today and the research, but now it's time for the case study where we're going to look at Jordan Thompson's situation and help her build a financial plan for her 20s and her young adult years. Let's get into today's case study with Jordan Thompson. Jordan is 26 years old. She makes $72,000 a year. She's a marketing manager in Florida. She was recently engaged. Congrats, Jordan. She's planning on getting married next year. She has about $38,000 in student loan debt at 5.2% interest. And she has about $8,500 in a high yield savings account. She says that she takes about $4,200 home after taxes and after her 401k contributions. Her situation is that she graduated college about 4 years ago. She's been steadily advancing in a marketing career, and she wants to begin to build her financial plan. Her fiance, Alex, makes about $65,000 a year, and together they're starting to think more seriously about their financial future. And this can be such a common situation for so many people, where you hit some sort of life milestone and you're like, oh man, now I need to start thinking about money. It's usually either getting married, having a kid, buying a home. There's so many different things that can make you really start to consider your financial picture. And it's always a great time to do it because the earlier you get started, like we learned in today's research and in today's story, when you get started earlier, it makes it a whole lot easier to deal with that change and growing complexity as you get older and older in life. Jordan shared that she feels overwhelmed by conflicting financial advice. She's always been told to spend less than she makes, but she's also being pitched insurance and investing products from her friends from college, so she's really not sure who to trust. And also there's all these confusing FinTalk videos that are telling her to engage in these complex strategies like infinite banking and things like that. It really just sounds all so confusing, and her and Alex want to figure out how they can go about making their financial picture simple and also begin to build a financial plan that works for them. So we're going to start here today with Jordan's why. She shared that money is important to her because she wants freedom to make choices based on what matters to her, not what she can afford. She wants to buy a home with Alex, travel without guilt, and not be chained to a job that she hates just to pay the bills. Financial independence means having options and not working because I have to, but because I want to. This why is going to become Jordan's compass, and that's what you're going to see throughout this entire case study, is the why money is important becomes a compass that really helps direct and guide you. So let's dive right into the next step of building this financial plan. After getting that why sorted out, we're going to look at Jordan's emergency fund and cash flow management. Like she said, she has about $8,500 in savings. Her goal is going to be to get that to $15,000. How can she build a plan around this goal? And why is this a goal? Because she wants to have options. What if she lost her job? Not having an emergency fund means no options. It means she has to go out and find another job, no matter what it is, right away. The action plan for Jordan here can be to automate $400 a month or so into her high yield savings account. She can keep her emergency fund separate from her checking account to avoid spending it on accident. It's also going to be important for her to consider her timeline. But really, making this automatic is going to be a huge step for her in the right direction. Automatic bill pay can be super helpful to avoid overspending when you need to make sure your bills are paid and potentially having to tap that emergency fund. She could also use sinking funds for her cash flow management for things like car maintenance, travel. Gifts are a great one because Christmas happens the same time every year. And here's a hint, it's coming up soon. If you haven't started saving for it, get started now because you're probably going to want to buy things in November and December, and you really only have zero, one or two more budgets left before you have to figure that out. And then Jordan also wants to schedule that budget meeting with Alex so that they can review their budget. She wants to do it quarterly, although I would recommend doing it monthly, especially at first when you're just getting this financial plan in place. Doing it monthly is going to help you a whole lot with getting on the right foot and getting started on the right path. Step three that we're going to talk about here is debt management. This is an important piece to consider in your financial plan as well, because you know what leaves you without any sort of opportunity or financial independence? Well, debt can do that. So you have to make sure you have a debt plan in place. For Jordan, it's the $38,000. She's paying $450 a month, even though the minimum is $350. That extra $100 a month is going to help her make sure that debt gets paid off in time to keep those options open. And that's one of the main reasons that money is important to her. And she does feel like that 5.2% interest rate does allow her to contribute more to tax-advantaged retirement plans. And that's what feels comfortable for her, and that's what's so awesome. You heard in a previous episode from my wife and I, we got our interest rates down lower than that because that's what we felt comfortable with, and we're still paying them off early. But for Jordan, that 5%, 5.2% interest rate, that's a good point for her, and she'd rather put money into retirement accounts. So that's what's so awesome, is you can build this financial plan however you want to build it. Next, we're going to look at how Jordan can invest simply. Well, right now she's contributing 6% to a 401k, and her company matches 50% of whatever she contributes, and she would like to get that up to 12% of her salary by increasing it 1% every 2 months as her budget adjusts, and hopefully she gets some raises in there, which really goes towards that research point that we had in today's episode about increasing your retirement contributions and planning to increase them before the time comes, because guess what? Your money is going to fill the container that you allow it to spend. If you're going to allow your spending behaviors to spend $2,000 a month, they're going to spend $2,000 a month. If you're only going to allow it $1,000 because the other amount is going into savings automatically, well, then you're only going to spend $1,000 a month. It is totally possible to control the psychology behind spending just by limiting how much you give yourself to spend. And then the other two things that Jordan is interested in is she wants to keep her investing simple with target date funds. And while I may not personally like target date funds because I think they can be too conservative, for Jordan here, a 2060 target date fund may be something perfect for her because she's looking to retire around 2060. She doesn't need to worry about individual stocks or worry about her investments because she has this target date fund selected and it's going to do the work for her. And then the other thing that Jordan wants to do is open a Roth IRA after her emergency fund is complete. And what is this Roth IRA going to allow? You guessed it right, more options. She's going to try to max that number out so that she can save even more money into tax-advantaged accounts, and she's just going to stick with a low-cost, total-market index fund. Super simple, tax-free growth for retirement, keeps her options wide open down the road, and really aligns with her values. And automation is a huge part in this. Automation with the 401k contributions, automation with the monthly transfer for her emergency fund, and automation for the monthly contribution to her IRA. And compound interest is going to be a huge factor for her. And in Jordan's situation, with her starting at age 26 with about $720 a month into her 401k, once she really gets that number ramped up, well, by age 35, after 10 years, she's going to have about $130,000. By age 45, after 20 years, she's going to have about $424,000. Now, here's where it gets fun. By age 55, where it's 30 years or so, she's going to have just over $1 million. Yeah, that went from $424,000 to $1,073,000 in just 10 years. Now, by age 65 and 40 years old, it hit a big number again, and $2.5 million is going to be about what Jordan has. And if you aren't retired by that point, I don't know how much money you need. But guess what? This is just her 401k contributions. This isn't considering her IRA contributions or contributions by her spouse. So they are going to be more than fine because they are getting started early. And they figured out why money is important to them. And they got it figured out early and built a financial plan with that as the guiding compass. And even if she waits just 10 years to start, that's losing out on potential for $1.4 million for retirement. And I'm getting really like hyped up and passionate about this because if you're 26 years or younger, or even 30 or younger, you have so much potential. And the earlier you start, the more flexibility and the more options you're going to have with your money. Now, something we're going to touch on more here with the case study than we did in the research section is risk management, insurance planning, and estate planning. Let's talk about disability insurance. Well, Jordan needs it because her ability to earn about $70,000 or more a year depends on her health, and she needs to make sure she's available to work. So if she's not available to work, then she's going to need insurance to replace that. So Jordan is looking at getting about $4,000, maybe just less than $4,000 a month in disability insurance. And she's going to make sure to get own occupation because that means that she is going to be able to get disability payout if she can't work her job. If she got any occupation disability insurance, she may be forced to work a job that she doesn't really want to work because she's not disabled from doing any job. So make sure you choose own occupation when you're considering disability insurance because any occupation can kind of put you in a bit of a pickle when maybe you're not really fit to work, but you can work any job. So you're working some sort of super basic entry-level job and not even getting paid close to what you were getting paid before. That's the real kicker about own occupation versus any occupation. Now, term life insurance. Well, she may not need it yet, but with an upcoming marriage and potential children in the future and the student loan burden that she has, she wouldn't want to burden her fiance and soon-to-be husband, Alex. Term life insurance can provide a huge benefit here. And like I said, let's dive into the dime formula. Debt, $38,000. Income replacement, this is going to land at $900,000 as if we did 15 years times the annual income needed to support Alex. So we're going to say about $60,000. Let's say about $900,000 is needed for income replacement. The mortgage, $350,000. This is assuming that they're buying a home soon and that they're looking for a mortgage of about that amount. Education, well, you could use term life insurance to pay for future education costs to reduce that burden on the surviving spouse. Let's say around $200,000. This lands Jordan's total term life insurance need at about $1.5 million. So that's how she landed on how much she needs. Now let's choose the time and figure out how much this is going to cost. Well, a 20-year term life insurance for about $1.5 million could be around maybe $40 to $50 a month for a 26-year-old in good health. Now, why did we say 20 years? Well, because by the time Jordan is 46 years old, that money that she is investing will have grown, the student loans will be paid off, the mortgage will be reduced a good amount, and the kids will potentially be through college, depending on when they have kids, of course, but their retirement savings will already be substantial. So at that point, they may not have a need for life insurance. And they certainly won't have a need for life insurance throughout their whole life. You just don't have a need for life insurance throughout your whole life. in most situations, of course. There's always unique one-offs out there. And if there is one that you're aware of, leave a comment down below. I'd love to engage in this discussion about term versus whole life insurance. But really, for Jordan and her situation right here, term life insurance is a pretty solid bet. And now, what about estate planning? This is the one that's terrifying. But even young people need basic estate documents. Without them, it's up to the state to decide what happens with everything that you own when you die. A couple of essential documents. A healthcare proxy to make sure someone can make medical decisions for you. HIPAA authorization to make sure that your medical providers can give information to your spouse or other people. A durable financial power of attorney. Now, this is to pay bills, manage accounts, and you may not necessarily need this right away if you're combining finances in a marriage, because you may make your spouse joint on your accounts, and that can usually suffice because they have the same permissions and rights as you over the account. But a durable financial power of attorney is something to consider. A living will is useful to document your end-of-life medical treatment preferences. And of course, especially if you have kids, actually this one is required if you have kids. If you have kids and you don't have this one that I'm about to mention, I want you to stop listening to this episode right now and go do this. Guardianship. You need to designate who is going to take care of your children should you die. If you don't have children now, you could do it ahead of time. But if you have children, you need to get this in place right now. But these don't have to all be done right away. You can take your time and work on them over time. My wife and I add these as bullet items on our budget meeting agenda, and we'll go through our beneficiaries. Jordan needs to go through all of her beneficiary designations and change them to Alex as the primary for her spouse. And then potentially her parents or friends or family or spouses as contingent beneficiaries. That way, if Alex is also dead, then it goes to the contingent beneficiaries. But you should look at your 401k, other retirement accounts, bank account beneficiaries, IRAs, life insurance beneficiaries. Anything that's going to result in money needing to go to someone else when you die, you need to make sure you tell the financial institution where to send it. The other thing to be aware of is if you ever move states, you may need to update all of this because some state laws are different. That's just something to be aware of, not necessarily something you need to look into right away. But just know if you move states, you may need to review your estate planning documents. But let's talk about Jordan's monthly budget. And guess what? It doesn't matter. It's really not important to build the financial plan. Your monthly budget doesn't matter so much when you just know the direction you're heading in. The direction you're heading in and understanding why money is important to you makes budgeting a whole lot easier. And like I've said throughout this episode, your expenses will adapt to the container or the income that you allow it to fill or spend. So your expenses will adapt to the income that you allow them to spend. So if you give yourself less income to spend or less money in your checking account, your expenses are going to adjust to that and you're going to be okay, I promise. So try cranking up that 401k or IRA contribution and just see what happens. My bet is you're going to be just fine. So as we're heading towards the end here, let's kind of wrap up about how this plan is going to evolve with Jordan as she gets older and enters those different stages that we talked about earlier. Well, in stage one for Jordan, it's all about building the foundation, getting that emergency fund in place, debt payoff, automating her investing, learning how to budget with her new spouse. The complexity is pretty low. Everything's automated and a one-page financial plan is sufficient. The time invested is going to be just some simple time invested for that budget review, those monthly budget and maybe quarterly financial planning meetings. And overall, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Now, as Jordan moves into step two, where the family is growing and wealth is accumulating, this is where marriages can come into play, house purchases, children going to college, career advancement. You may need a larger emergency fund, some 529 college savings, increased life insurance. You may need to learn how to manage multiple mortgages. Maybe you ended up as a landlord because you didn't sell your last house. And where things are starting to get more complex in this stage, this is where it could be beneficial to work with a certified financial planner and begin to work with professionals in all sorts of different areas to take that burden off your back. And then stage three for Jordan, this is going to be where retirement happens and wealth preservation really becomes a key factor. Maybe they're empty nesters now. They've gotten major promotions. They're considering early retirement. Estate planning gets a lot more complex because now you have trusts and all those other things in play. There's a lot of tax optimization strategies, considerations around Social Security, Medicare, all these different things that make working with a professional as you start getting into that stage three so crucial, because a certified financial planner can help begin to outline all of the different decisions you need to make, point you in the right direction, and keep you aligned with why money is so important to you, and also just reduce your stress. But this plan is going to work for Jordan because it's aligned with her why. It's simple and automated. She's starting early, which is a huge benefit. She's going to be properly insured with disability and term insurance when she needs it. And she's going to avoid common mistakes. And it's just going to keep those opportunities and flexibility wide open for her, which is a key piece of why money is important to her. So I got three questions for you from this case study. First one is, what simple automation step could you take to remove the money management burden from your life? The second one, what is your financial why and why is money important to you? And the third one, if you're worried about money being hard to manage, imagine how much harder it will be to manage it as life gets more challenging if you don't take the steps now to figure out why money is important and set in place a simple and easy automated financial plan. And as we wrap up this episode, please subscribe and help continue to grow the show and go check out the four other episodes that came out today with the release and launch of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Five episodes that came out today are Crafting Your Financial Why, How I Made My Wife Cry About Money, this episode about how to build your financial plan in your 20s, estate planning doesn't have to be that complicated, and the power of a bucket system with your cash flow. Let me know what you think with a comment or an email about any of the episodes. You can find my information down in the show notes. And I'll leave you with one question. Why is money important to you? Leave a comment on YouTube, Spotify, or send me an email. But what was your big takeaway? For me, it's that a financial plan doesn't have to be complicated at all. It can be simple. Start with why money is important with you and let that be your compass and guiding light to build a roadmap for managing your money throughout your entire life. And one key thing to remember, insurance is a key part of your financial plan because you don't want some crazy event blowing up any opportunity and potential roadmap that you had with your money. So make sure you're insured properly. Don't blow off insurance because forgetting about it isn't something that you can easily fix when you need it later down the road and something happens. So that's just a quick reminder, but thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and let me know what you think. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Have a great week. And hey, quick heads up. This podcast, it's meant to be educational and it's for entertainment purposes. It's not personalized financial advice for your specific situation. So before you go out and make any big money moves, make sure you chat with a qualified financial professional who knows your full financial picture.